This is the Trinity College of Florida podcast. I'm John Keller. Well, today I have a great brother in the Lord, a fellow alumni, a friend, and just a guy that I truly have been looking forward to interviewing for the college. He's a recent graduate at Trinity College of Florida. And so, first of all, tell you about Dustin. Dustin Zerwas is here today. He's a youth pastor at Gulfview Grace Church, which is in Port Richey, Florida. And the pastor of that church and I go back with a connection because Pastor Paul and I took our very first classes together back in the 90s at Moody Bible Institute Extension Studies when neither one of us knew a thing about the Bible when we started out. So Dustin's here today. So Dustin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me here.
Now, I see that you've been at Gulfview Grace Church. For how long now have you been at this church?
It will be in September of this year, 25 years.
But you have been youth pastor for 25 years. You're not that old.
No, I have not youth pastor that year. I've youth pastored there full-time for a little over 8 years, but I've been a part of the youth group since I've been going there.
Now, something I know about you, that you actually embrace being a youth pastor. You don't try to looking to climb somewhere else. You are planted where you are, and you are serving and doing. Now, if God moves you somewhere, something changes, that's up to the Lord, right? But I've known that about you, that you have embraced where you are, and you're working. I know some of the students that are in your youth group, you're probably not even aware of that. But you are where God's planted you, and you've made the most of every moment there. That's a great thing. So tell us, first of all, tell anyone who's listening in, you're a graduate of the Trinity Quest program, which is a degree completion program, which means you have some college. And so where was your some college before you came here?
Well, right after high school, I didn't know a whole lot about where to go for college. My parents never stressed that because no one really went to college in my family. And I was kind of guided towards like Water Life Bible Institute.
Yeah, great school.
In Hudson, Florida. And I went there for the year. And then life happened and I just didn't know a whole lot about how to pay for college and where to go. And then I had opportunities working with Chick-fil-A to kind of come on there as their general manager. And so God kind of moved me in different directions.
See, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
You were at Chick-fil-A.
I was at Chick-fil-A for like a number of years then, and left that and kind of pursued more the area of technology and kind of worked a lot with, worked at Best Buy, kind of went through their leadership program.
Oh, wow, okay.
And basically they said, hey, we want to send you off to get, trained up to become a general manager. But the only thing that stopped me after I did all the training was, hey, you have to be available Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And that was a big no for me because I was always active within our church on Sundays. And kind of as that kind of happened, I was doing kind of a correspondent type college courses at our church. And we went through like 3 years. We're about to graduate with a bachelor's degree. And I'm like, it's going to be awesome. And they came back and said, hey, you have to redo all of this work and we're like, that's crazy for 3 years. And so nothing really transpired. I kind of continued to learn and read and kind of took different classes, but it wasn't until 2018 where I kind of met you.
Yep.
And kind of had the opportunity to sit down and you kind of begin to explain a little bit more about how Trinity Quest works. It's on, one night a week. And you kind of work on your own. You can do some stuff online. And it just worked out my schedule. And it was a great thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to back up a couple things here. I love the fact that you took a stand. I am going to church. I'm involved in my church on Sunday. You have, because we always say, God first and family and then job. And well, some people put job first, right? Mm-hmm. And so you took that stand and you did that. And that's fantastic. Your Chick-fil-A days, we'll have to talk about that another time because I'd be really interested in knowing some things there. But why do we all love Chick-fil-A so much? It's ridiculous. What do they put in that meat? I want to know. What's in that sauce, man? Because I will drive and sit for 45 minutes in a line to get Chick-fil-A sauce.
Is that good?
I don't get it. I don't get it. There's something wrong with us. My pastor calls it the Baptist bird. But anyway. So, well, you went and took all the other training, though, because it wasn't accredited, right? So
it was good to have that knowledge.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize until kind of as I started in the Quest program that there's some of that knowledge that kind of carried over, and I could see where I definitely needed to grow in certain areas. And so kind of coming to Trinity allowed me to kind of have a little bit of extra input in some of the classes, but I still learned a lot from coming to Trinity.
Yeah, you know, and Word of Life is they're accredited. So, like, we're an accredited Bible college. You know, they're accredited as well. And so that's where the two work well together. And we have a lot of students that come from Word of Life. And, in fact, a lot of the ones will end up being our RAs in the dorm. You know, so because they're so used to disciplined and well, you know, versed in what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. But it's been great to have those students on campus. But, well, you came here in 2018, and I remember we were sitting at Panera, you and Pastor Paul, and I had no idea that you were even thinking about doing school. And Paul's like, John, tell him about this. So he knew about the program, and it worked out really well, which is kind of like how Paul and I did it. We both started. Ours was Monday nights at a church. It was an extension of another college at that time. Moody Bible Institute had extension classes in Florida at that time. We can go one night a week, you know, and take classes. And that's how we started. And so the Quest is similar to that, except much faster paced. Mm-hmm. And in the fall this year, we're going to be every 8 weeks instead of the five. So the rate of completion will be a little better for students. You won't take one class at night. You'll take two. So there'll be a separation there. So it does help a lot. So you came to Trinity Quest, and financially it worked out because you qualify for financial aid because you are married with how many children?
We have 8 kids that we have adopted. And I usually tell people that it's not a knock on them. Our kids understand that when we say that, people look at us really weird because usually the reactions before were like, you've been divorced several times and have all these kids, and so are you Mormon? I'm like, yes. No, I'm not. So we also use that mainly as a way to have conversations with people because they go, that's 8, you have 8 kids? I'm like, yeah. And they, well, how did that all happen? So we kind of begin to share our testimony, and we kind of use our kids. And our kids use that in an incredible way to help minister to other people.
Yeah, on this page where I post this, you have your story and with your son. It was, you sent it to me one morning, early in the morning before you graduated, and totally wrecked me that morning. I was just bawling my eyes out because, God is so faithful. But your son that is in heaven now, his testimony is just amazing and convicting, quite honestly, you know. And I know a lot of people have been impacted by that. I personally put that on the college website. And I know that it's had, a lot of views. And the impact of his testimony. I love that Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. I mean, you'll receive power when you're my witnesses. Mm-hmm. And that really, the Christian witness is, our witness, what Christ is doing and has done and is doing is so powerful for us as Christians, as believers in the world. Because we want to reach people for Christ. We want to reach people that need Jesus, and you have got a youth group just underneath your roof.
It is. It's like that, and it's challenging but rewarding at the same time.
I got to tell you, I had 3 kids, and I'm tired, so I have no idea what kind of superhuman strength. I always see you dressed up as some kind of superhero with your kids, and I've seen all your antics on social media with your kids, and I just say, yeah, he's definitely Batman. He's definitely this one to be able to do all that. But, and your wife is just an awesome woman of faith, I can say you definitely hit wife lottery, a great woman of faith, and just doing the right things to love all those children the way a mom called to loving those children and raising those children. Nothing is better than that.
Yeah, she kept on trying to, she kept on trying to date me, and I said, I'm in love with the Lord right now, and she kept on pursuing after me. I finally just gave in. But she's incredible. She's a big reason why I get to kind of look good, like a lot of great women. And she works with little kids, and so I get the opportunity to work with teenagers, so it's kind of a nice, good balance.
Sure.
Plus, she's just as weird as I am, but she won't say that because she's really quiet and reserved. But she's incredible.
Yeah, remember, for every great man of the faith who is doing great things for the kingdom is a woman rolling her eyes.
That is
true. Well, you came to Trinity Quest and you started your classes and you came on Monday nights. What was that like, making that transition to being a full-time college student, a full-time dad, full-time in ministry? What was that like for you?
Yeah, so there's a lot of aspects, and people usually say, how do you do what you do? And I tell them, I have to find balance. I'm very good at, as far as structuring and kind of seeing what works really well and kind of figure all that stuff out. And I know a lot of times my wife would make sacrifices with me. She's like, okay, well, you're going to go on Monday nights. It's great. And so we're trying to balance school and ministry and family life. And so it's kind of those times where, you know, for someone in college, you might have to stay up late one night or get up early one morning and kind of work on certain things or dedicate certain times, or you're just finding small areas where, hey, I can fit this in and do it. But it was kind of also a drive to come and to kind of finish something that I once started and it wasn't complete. And it was a matter of, I'm really firm in what I know. And it's kind of coming to college is kind of a way of, you know, professors saying, hey, listen, we have tested them. We have invested in their lives. And we trust that this person knows what they know. That, and that's kind of our world we live in, is that people want to know what you know. Because anyone can go online and Google something. They can go on and watch a marathon of doctor shows and think they're a doctor. And yet they didn't go any of the classes at all. I'm like, it's just... It's been good because I got to, you know, at first when I came to Trinity, I was kind of still had my reservations of previous things at colleges, like, hey, what is your expectation so I can know what to do? And the professors were really helpful from the beginning.
Yeah, small teacher-professor ratio, yeah. Student-professor ratio.
And I realized, too, a lot of times we want that large classroom setting and we want to feel like we're part of something big. And it's just that small environment allowed me to be able to connect with some students, but the professors, and kind of took that time. And I looked at it as a time of, listen, I'm coming to Trinity. I want to learn, and I kind of want to take my stuff with excellence, how I do everything else in life.
But. Yeah, I made that observation about you when I met you, and I could tell. I know Pastor Paul fairly well. I mean, him and I don't interact as much as we'd like to, probably, or I'd like to, but I know that he's a guy who chases excellence in every area of his life because he's a family man. He loves his family and his mm-hmm. children, and he's, you know... I knew his dad really well, mm-hmm. actually, back in the day. And I know that a man who chases excellence in every area of his life, spiritually, academically, physically fit, you know, being responsible, you're taking care of the things that God has put in your yard to take care of. And I know you've done that from all the time I've known you. And when you approach that, that's a really good thing. It's a really positive thing. But... I appreciate that you brought up the fact that it was something you hadn't completed.
Yeah.
And that's something I think God's a God of completion. He wants us to complete these things. What are some of the things you learned while you were here? What are some of the classes you took? I know you had Dr. Woodward in his Darwinism class, which was off the charts.
Yeah. The one thing that I did appreciate and kind of doing stuff with excellence was when I had to do projects or papers, I had other people, like my kids, that I would bounce stuff off of. I would explain to them. Or if it was some fun stuff with Dr. Alotta, was trying to memorize passages and passages of Scripture. And some of the fun things that I got to do, my kids were like, this is weird that you do this. So one of the things that I do to memorize Scripture is I will say it out loud in a Russian accent. And I just kind of, and my kids are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, listen, it's only weird if it doesn't work. And so they would be there, and I would kind of, and they got to see that. And so one of my son, Ashton, who's in the fall, has come into the Trinity Collegiate High School.
Oh, yeah, the high school that our professor started, yeah.
And there was a time when I was first coming here, he was not doing that well academically. And he was just kind of also young, still trying to grow. And so I was trying to help give him an example. And so he kind of is a year turnaround. It's not me. It's just kind of him seeing, like, listen, your job you have is to go to school and do the best that you can. As long as you do the best you can, that's all I can ask of you. And you're capable of doing it. And a part of the Quest program, there was lots of classes that I appreciated. I appreciated it because it was kind of stretching in different areas.
Right.
Whether it's like writing big papers or learning in certain subjects. I really didn't have a class where I go, oh my goodness, this is so weird. Because there were some classes I felt like this is not going to be like the best class. But it turned out actually it was pretty well. Like there were some classes where you had to learn about, you know, music in worship, and you had to go visit three different types of churches outside of what you normally would go to, or you had to watch it online. And it was kind of an eye-opening to kind of go to a Jewish synagogue. I'd never been to one.
Right.
Went one, very friendly. They said, just follow me. A little old lady. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting next to her trying to explain to her what I'm doing, and it was good to kind of see a different side that I normally wouldn't have seen, and they're not too far away from our church. But yeah, the classes, I thought they were great. You know, it's kind of a neat thing to kind of be under other people's learning trees and to understand even some of the other classes you have to take. Besides the Bible, I found myself doing a lot of my extra classes were from counseling.
Sure.
And that helps out, especially when...
Professor Ewald.
Yeah, she was incredible. And
she's a great professor.
She
loves her students.
She is a unique woman. And one of my favorite classes was on crisis counseling. And we got to role play. And I think one of my favorite parts was when we had to be an angry class. And she and I were going back and forth at each other. And it was fun to be a part of that. But to learn from them was helpful because I would apply it right away into ministry.
I can tell you that I got my master's degree because Lester Ewald says, you can do it, you know, and I didn't really believe in myself that I could do it. And then when I got into it, I'm like, what did you get me into? This is hard. But then I graduated with a B average, which I'll take as a single parent, you know. And at the time, I was turning 50 when I finished that. So, yeah, those are great classes. Crisis counseling is a fan. I think everyone should take crisis counseling. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should take it for premarital counseling.
Yeah.
That might be a good class to take.
It's always a crisis.
It is always a crisis, especially when you have 8 children. You're like, yeah. What do you do when the washing machine breaks at your house? I just want to know.
Oh, so, those kids are going to wash it by hand then, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. I just can't even imagine the laundry. And I'm just trying to understand 8 children in one house.
We actually used to, I used to joke with her. People always said, you got a large family. I'm like, yeah. So you should be on, this is when the big stuff was happening with TLC. You should have your own TV show. I'm like,
I've had that thought.
I said, it's not going to be interesting at all. It's like season 1, we do the laundry. Season 2, laundry's on the table. Season 3, laundry's still on the table. Season 4, we had to rewash the clothes because it fell on the ground. It wasn't
good. Yeah,
but I think for a lot of stuff, it just kind of, for me, being organized and trying to have stuff. But I was told that as your kids get a little bit older, things become a little bit more easier with chores because the house gets clean like right away. Everyone hops right in and does it. So at first it was chaotic, but now that they're a little bit older, they have different responsibilities, and it's getting better.
You just need to show that Admiral McCraven video over and over again about make your bed.
Yes.
And so to show that over and over again, I have shared that with many students on this campus and my student group that I lead, and they all make their beds now.
Okay.
So start the day off by making your bed. You know, if you have a terrible day, when you go home, at least you'll be climbing into a made bed. So that's great. Well, you did very well in the Quest program, and it took you, what, 2 years?
It was like a little over 2 years. But
2 years in a semester, maybe?
I believe it was about 2 years, like, in the semester rotation.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure,
because I started in the springtime, and then I 2 years later, I graduated in that spring.
Okay, all right. Good deal. Now, what was it like when you finally, the day of, I have a great picture of you with your diploma. I love that shot of you. You're just beaming. Your kids are out there with their, go, Dad, you know.
Yeah, but that I did not realize. At first, I was told, when we were graduating back in October, I was thinking, okay, well, I'm going to graduate. And I'm figuring it's going to be, you know, it's like a lot of other places. There's no, like, seating as far as, like, how many limitations you can have. And so in January, when I found out we were graduating, I said, hey, I'm inviting my whole church to come out. Because I always told them, because growing up as a kind of coming to the church when I was about 12 years old, it was so helpful, the church itself, because we have different generations that have helped invest in my life and kind of helped be my parents and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles, and they put so much time and energy. So even though I wasn't getting I was learning as a young man, they were still investing in my life. And so I just tell them it's kind of a byproduct of their investment, and letting them know, like, all the years of being with me, it's really helpful, because I'm trying to do stuff with excellence. Even though I didn't graduate like with valedictorian, I said I still learned so much, and I'm so appreciative of it. And that day when it came, I got in there and I realized my first thought was, I have a problem. They have reservations for how many people you can have. So luckily my wife came in and sat down, and then we had some people that came, but they left because they felt there's some people like Pastor Paul, our lead pastor, who is a youth pastor, who's like, he's like a father figure to me. He deserves to be here type sure. thing. And the only thing that kind of threw me off, but then things started to kind of calm down a little bit, was it said, listen, this is a great day, but we have to act like adults. I'm like, I can't act like an adult for the most part. But I didn't realize until afterwards, when people were videotaping, I'm the last one to walk, and it was a great thing to kind of close out this thing that I've been working on for a while. And it was a thing for my son who couldn't go to college, is I wanted to hug every single person. And I didn't realize and how weird it was. I'm like, I'm the last one. I can take as much time as I want. As I walked up between Dr. Eric Bonhoeffer.
Bargerhoff.
Bargerhoff, okay.
Yeah.
one of those names. And
I gave him the first thing to get that
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So I gave him a giant hug. And he was like, what in the world's going on? And so
I remember that, actually.
So I'm like, that's just only me. But it was really good. I appreciated just the time and the effort, and especially the professors. I, being someone who works in ministry, I've worked as a campus pastor for a school part-time, just to be there, is that you're always in the trenches. You're always doing stuff, and it's just like a small thing of someone saying, hey, thank you so much for your time and energy that you put into it. And so for me, before graduation, even just making a small video just to thank the professors and kind of give them a reason why I came to Trinity, what I was doing, what I'm planning to do, was something just to say thank you, because it was they give me their time and their energy and their knowledge and wisdom, and I'm sure that they're appreciative for other professors who've taught them. And so just a small thank you to them.
That video was very meaningful. It reminds me, it's still meaningful. I mean, I showed it to the president of the college. He just, you know, Billy with his wife was just teared up and just losing it, because they worked so hard to make this. You know, Bible college is hard to keep going, because there's not a lot of people that want to go to Bible college, number one, and there's a lot of hoops to jump through to keep us accredited. We just got accredited again for 10 more years. Oh. Praise the Lord. We just got through that. That was a 2-year process. I mean, there's so many things you have to do to keep, you know, to have the right professors and the right teaching and the right education and all the things that you need to have, and then have people that are be dedicated to the student and care about the student and love the student. You know, we had, you know, we've been through a lot. You know, this school, 90 years we've been here, but nothing is better than, you know, you hugging Dr. Bargerhoff. That was awesome, because he's, you know, he's now dean of the school, and it says a lot. It really does say a lot. And I think a lot of it's the faithfulness of God working in your life. And, I mean, the people you have, you know, like you said, Pastor Paul, the people you have around you are just fantastic people. Well, let's transition. You now have completed, that was a year ago, and now you are attending seminary.
I am.
Because a bachelor's degree isn't just enough.
Yeah, and I started 2 days after graduation, so there's no breaks at all.
Oh, my goodness.
So back in about a year before I was about to graduate, I felt God calling me to a higher education, to go to seminary. Sure. And I was something I wasn't thinking. I was thinking more of, hey, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree. I'm going to get that stamp of approval, my currency of my diploma, to allow people to know, like, hey, I've gone to school. And I did not think it would be I didn't know where to go, and I had some different two colleges in mind. Mainly it was because when I was talking with some of the professors here at Trinity, the first thing they say is, how are you going to pay for it? I said, that's a good question. Because
yeah, that's always a question. A yes isn't a yes without the how.
Yeah, and so I went ahead and I submitted one application, and it was to Dallas Theological Seminary. I knew people that went there. And I got an email, and I was accepted in December. I'm like, I was blown away because I'm like, you really want me to come to this school?
Yeah.
Because like I said before, my family hasn't really had, a high education at all. Like, my dad graduated, his last year of school was fifth grade. My mom did a couple classes in high school and maybe one in college, but that was where it was. And
yeah, I'm the first in my family to have a four-year degree. Well, and then I have a master's too, but
even better. So, and the one thing is, it's kind of for me to kind of help instill with my kids, like, hey, you can go ahead and do it. And so some of my kids do that, and they want to further their education and to be really good at what they do.
You know, that's a good point to bring up about this, is people are thinking about, should I go back to school and complete my degree? I will tell you that my own son was in the Army, and he got out of the Army, and he's like, I'm going to become a police officer, and he went to the academy. Well, I graduated with my master's back then. He was never going to go to school. Well, mm-hmm. It wasn't a year later. He goes, I'm going to step down from being a police officer, go back to college, because I need more education to do this job right. And he went to his bachelor's degree in the GI Bill, and we have some here on the GI Bill as well. Yeah. We take those funds here. And we love our veterans, but he did the same thing. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I went and made it a priority. Well, now he's going to go make it a priority, and now my daughter is halfway through her degree already. She did dual enrollment here, and has done fantastic. Your kid's going to do great, by the way.
Yeah.
So don't worry about a thing. My daughter did very well because we have the Learning Center. And the Learning Center is something that students go to, which we're sitting in the library right now in the studio. The Learning Center has Dr. Mallow and all these students that's what they do. They tutor students and help students. And so if you need help with a project, you need help with anything, you have the help here. And that's what's small school. It's a great thing to have.
Yeah. And that was a big setup, was just the professors that kind of helped me out, and it was kind of them helping to push me a little bit in certain areas and stretch me. So graduated, 2 days later, started Dallas, doing mainly the online, and then doing some in-person classes for a couple of days at different locations. And so I've done that in the summertime, in the fall, and currently right now in the spring. And so I'm learning quite a bit more in depth. But I would say that Trinity set me up really well to have a really good grasp on what I'm learning.
Yeah, and so how is that? Like, you think you got
to, absolutely.
What, you need to get prepared?
There was Dr. Zook who said, listen, we have people go. He gave me a list of all the seminaries that students have gone on to. And he's like, we help our students. And I was really encouraged when I started doing classes. Like, even though some stuff is more in depth, a lot of that biblical knowledge and understanding was a really foundation, and even built upon that a little bit from Trinity. So I would say my time at Trinity was really beneficial now going to Dallas, and I'm sure it is for a lot of students who have gone on to different colleges.
Yeah, Dr. Alotta said he didn't learn anything when he went on to grad school. He already knew it at Trinity. He was just repeating the same. I have to tell you, I had the same experience at grad school, because some of the textbooks I used here were the same textbooks. Mm-hmm. When I took hermeneutics or I took, apologetics, it was the same textbook at grad school that I had an undergraduate. So that's an interesting little dynamic, but so glad that you were able to do that. And you've been doing well. And so how is your wife, Natalie, dealing with you still in school?
Well, the good thing with her is that she works extremely hard where she's at as a director of a daycare. And over the course of the years, she's been trying to complete her degree. She's always done accreditations.
Oh, no. You
and
her too?
She's doing school full time too, and working 60 something hours a week with our kids. And so we have to communicate a lot with what we're doing. There's the nice thing is I got her a desk and a chair in our bedroom because that's where my office is. And so there's nights where, hey, you got to do schoolwork? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do schoolwork too. Even though I wasn't really planning that, I'll just do work with you. So it's kind of trying to communicate and have that balance because it's kind of a way to help encourage her to kind of finish her stuff. Because when we got right out of high school, we got married. We were high school sweethearts, got married, and then just life kind of happened where we found ourselves taking care of kids right away, and that was kind of our focus. We worked full-time, we took care of kids,
sure.
And still doing stuff with ministry as a youth leader, and we just kind of, school wasn't as like a main priority. It was kind of in the back end of, hey, we're going to do stuff as life goes on. But it's kind of for her to kind of help finish because it helps her out as she has always wanted to become like a teacher, and she loves little kids. But she always has learned, just like for me, even though I wasn't going to a Bible college at the time, I was still taking courses and classes that were free. And it's just kind of that mindset of always being a lifelong learner. As people change, yep, and develop, you always got to be learning and understanding what's going on.
That is a great reason to go to school. Even letter. I mean, you sat in class with a lot of people that weren't 22 years old.
Yeah. So even at Dallas, some of my class, I'm like, I feel like I'm the youngest person in this classroom. Yeah. But for a lot of them that were like, even here at Trinity, there were some people that were in their 70s. And
yes,
it was good.
One graduate who was,
yeah,
in his 70s.
And it was good to see people of different ages because they're in the same mindset. I want to learn about the Bible. I want to learn more in depth. I want to understand this and not just kind of read it or do a daily devotion. I really want to study it and utilize it in life and in ministry.
There's a big question I always like to ask, and it's a why question. And why college versus just studying it on your own?
Like for me, when I was 16 years old, it was in that time period where you have to pick occupation. What do you want to be the rest of your life? And my,
sure,
first thing was the girl I liked. What do you want to be? I'm going to be that too. I'm going to be a musician just like you are. And you figure out the thing. But I realized quickly, because as a teenager, it was really the youth group that kind of was that, not just safe haven, but is where I grew. It's where I realized that this is a big step as I lay my foundation before I become an adult. When I was 16 years old, I made a video with Pastor Paul, and it was being a youth pastor, and we had video, we had understanding, and always was the understanding, like, you're not gonna make a lot of money, but the people you impact, the students you impact, is far worth it. And that was my mindset when I was 16. I want to do it, and I can look back now and see kind of, okay, I went to, you know, Word of Life, and then I had different jobs. And some stuff didn't pan out the way I wanted to, and there was some delay with the education of graduating. But for me, it was always a sense of, I want to learn, and if I'm going to learn, especially as a position of being like the youth pastor for almost 8 years, it's not a matter of feeling like I'm a failure or I'm embarrassed that I don't have a degree and I'm a youth pastor. I try to tell them, like, I learn a lot, but going to school and having that currency that our world says, hey, we want to, yeah, validate that you actually know it, because there's lots of people out there that will go online and Google something, or there's people that I know that I try to help steer them away is, I want to be an ordained minister, and if I send $40 to this place, then I can be that would be nice to do that, just to pay a bunch of money. But I think the aspect of learning it and people understand that, because they can see through a lot of the facade of,
sure,
oh, I know a lot of stuff, but do I really know it? And that was kind of my thing of, when you go to college, especially at Trinity, you learn stuff in a different way. You understand things. There's some challenging questions you have to go through. And to be able to understand that more in depth than just the, what do you think when you read this? But it's kind of getting that a firmer foundation, because you are studying, you know, if you are serving the Lord, whether if you're in ministry full time, whether if you are, you know, in a job and people ask you questions, you want to know the answers and say, listen, it's not just here, but this other stuff, we can unpack this a little bit more. because it helps when you go to talk to other people or people have questions, and you get to have those in-depth conversations with them. But you would want to know what you know. And even if you don't know the answer, you still say, hey, I know other people I can go to and ask them, and we can kind of work through this questions.
That's a great answer. I really look at your perspective on that. I know, same as you do, but looking back, being forced to go do a paper on a subject, I don't know that I would have had that discipline to really dive deep in a subject area like apologetics, defending my faith. And now I know the word. I know what the Bible says, but I know how to, you know, coherently defend my faith. And when I say defend it, I really mean, you know, why do I have a hope in Christ? Well, it coheres to reality. Yeah. You know, the Christian faith, the Bible actually coheres to history and reality, and it's really the greatest answer to our four questions of life. You know, why are we here? How did we get here? How should we live? You know, what's going to happen to us? Those questions are, every human has those questions, yeah, whether they believe it or not. But, you know, when you're in a formal place like this, it's based on the Bible, you know, 90 years, you know, it's been the same. The message has not changed. Yeah. You know, the culture changes around this, right?
Yeah.
But the formal education does make a huge difference. And I think the method changes of how we teach it from, you know, from generation to generation. The guys, the people today are much more visual than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I probably benefited a little bit from the fact that I didn't like school growing up. And that waited a little bit, and kind of the education world caught up to who I was. And then I got into education. Hey, I love this. This is great. I love learning, because it was probably the way I learned. You know, I think the way we taught people in the 70s is not how we're teaching them in 2022, for sure. But, I really appreciate your perspectives. We could probably go on forever and talk about your experience. And I really, your story is his story. You know, God's working in your life, your family, your children, you know, your ministry. You're thriving. And you're keeping the balance. I love the word balance. I know. And you are a man chases excellence, which means you have discipline. You have self-discipline. You make yourself get up and do the paper when you don't feel like it. You know, somebody asked me the other day, we're talking about something, and I said, well, I haven't felt like doing laundry ever in my life. I've never felt like working out ever, you know, but you do those things because you want the benefit of it. There's wisdom in that. So,
yeah, a lot of stuff, when I do it, anything really in general, and we usually tell our kids about integrity and character, and how if you're going to go ahead and do something, you need to do it whether someone's looking or not looking.
That's right.
And I always tell our students is that no matter what you do, someone's always watching. You're always an example. You're either going to be a great influence, or you're going to be someone that people are going to go, I do not want anything to do with that at all. And so our hope is that we can teach our kids, hey, listen, we need you to do the best you can. And we try to help break it down from, well, if it's schoolwork, like, listen, this is your job. You want a job, you're doing schoolwork. You do really well here, you get extra things to do. And for us to be able to say, listen, Mom and I go to work full time. We come home, we take care of you. When you go to bed, we're doing school stuff. Or we're doing stuff early in the morning. And we want them to understand that even though people may not see all the great things that we get to do because we're not sitting there broadcasting it through social media, which is not a bad thing. Right. It's just like people don't need to know that I just did my paper at, you know, past midnight, and I'm got to get up at 5-something in the morning and show how great I am. It's just, you know what, if Scripture tells us to kind of do things with excellence, if there's other people in Scripture who have done things that I'm like, that is, wow, I can't believe that. That's what they did. That's what, how far they went with their belief. Because I always tell people, everything we do, whether if it's taking care of kids, schoolwork, it all represents our reflection towards our Creator. Just because the fact that I get the unbelievable opportunity to be a father, to be a youth pastor, to minister to people, to be used in ministry full time is something that was a dream since I was 16 years old. And I never realized that my life would be, hey, you have a bunch of 8 kids. That's crazy. But we look at that as just a way to kind of be an example with our actions, but also we want to do with our words to be able to share why we do what we do and to help encourage other believers. Because the one thing that I always tell people, and we kind of explain this even with our students recently, is, you know, everyone deals with pain, whether if it's people that are, you know, pastors or people who are like really great humanitarians. Everyone deals with pain and hurts, but it's how you respond during those moments of pain and hurts. People see that and how they respond. So if we're going through some difficult times in life, we understand where our strength and our hope comes from, and we kind of say, listen, this is your entire life is this lifelong journey on this pilgrimage towards heaven one day. But people often will kind of, if something bad happens, they kind of walk away from their faith because it's something bad happened. This isn't for me. And we just try to live out that example for our kids and those that are in charge of and watching over.
I've watched you guys over the years and can attest, you know, and say that you definitely have been tested in that way, where people would say, why do these bad things happen? One of the posts that I track, one of our professors wrote, why do good things happen to bad people? Which is like the opposite, right? And if you type that in Google search, that paper comes up. People are asking both sides of that question, why do bad things happen to good people? But why do good things happen to bad people? Which is like a different way on that. I've watched you guys, and you've gone through some hard times. And you guys have persevered through those times, not without tears, not without sorrow, not without hurt, not without fear, not without all the things. But you responded in a way that I think glorified God in every way possible. I think it's a tremendous testimony. I love something you said. I caught you saying that. I get to be a pastor. I get to be a husband. I get to be a dad. I get to be all those things. And that's really a great attitude. We should all remember that. I get to wake up this morning and go to work. I get to drive my car to work through traffic today, you know, and I get to go through Starbucks drive-thru. Yeah. So, I mean, praise the Lord. Yeah. But those are things that are, those are great things. Well, I'm so pleased that God was able to use me to help you get through the Quest program. Yeah. I'm so glad that I even think about the sovereignty of God in 1995. I'm taking a class with your pastor when he was young. I mean, young. I don't even think he was 20 yet. Him and his wife and those classes. I don't even think they were married back then. That's how long ago that was. But I just think about those connections and how God has worked through all of that to bring you here and bring you forward.
And one of the things that is kind of a neat blessing is how kind of Trinity all kind of comes around in this. And I kind of shared it in the video, was with my son, you know, kind of as he's going through cancer, kind of what he wants to do, looking forward to. And his thing was, I want to go to college, I want to be a pastor, and I want to be an author. And I said, okay. He's like, tell me about your college experience. I'm like, oh, okay. We'll try to make it nice and easy as possible. And I explained to him I did some college stuff, and some stuff didn't pan out, but I'm still learning a lot. And the unique thing that has happened is a lot of times people realize, and this is a big thing, is that when we're very young, we want to be popular. I think it's more prevalent today than any other generation.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I want to be now a TikTok star, an influencer, and you want to have likes and posts. And the one thing that I learned, which was even as today kind of putting a lot of this in perspective, is just kind of being willing to be used by God in a variety of ways. And so I remember very early in with Randall being diagnosed with cancer, was trying to figure out, God, give me some, what should I do as a father, as a husband? How do I lead my family really well? And so we came across a book called The Comeback, and there was a section there that Randall loved, was in John 11 about Lazarus. And it was a point where Jesus is like, he waits. And then he says, listen, Lazarus will not die as far as in vain. He's pretty much get to the point where he's like, listen, this is going to be for God's glory. so God would be glorified through it. And he liked that. He's like, man, I can use my story to help people out. So even going to, you know, the first day on the cancer ward, going to the game room, talking to the kid, hey, I'm Randall, I got this, what's your name? And so the interactions. And so I try to find small things for him to do. And one of the things I want to take him to was a thing called Passion Night. So Passion band from Atlanta, they're going to have this Passion Night. I'm like, this will be great. We're going to take him. He's going to listen to, he listens to these guys on the radio. He loves them. And the Pastor Louis coming, and you know, he wrote the book. And we found out that, you know, we couldn't go because he had a little bit of a high temperature. He's about to have more treatment, so he had to stay a couple. He had to go a couple extra days before his scheduled cancer treatments. We're going to miss this night, and so I just sent. I said, it may work, it may not work at all. Probably won't work at all. Sent an email, and I just explained to him we couldn't make it. And I said, hey, you're traveling. It's like a mile detour. If you wanted to stop by, if you had any possible way at all, just to help encourage him. And I got a phone call. I'm figuring, thanks for letting us know. I'm sorry we can't do it. We got a schedule. And they said, hey, we'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm like, all right. That's great. I told him to go brush his teeth and be somewhat presentable. And so they knock on the door. I step out. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Just kind of, I've known of these people. But for him, it was a big thing because, like, you're in my room, and this was incredible. And I listened to the radio. I just read my dad and I were going through your book. And so they talked with him. I'm just sitting back like a fly on a wall. And the great thing is it's not just me saying this. It's been documented. We have video of it, too, of kind of Louis kind of sharing the story of what's going on.
Yeah, the video is on our website. If you find Dustin Zerwas's video on our website here, you will. Yeah. The whole story.
And the whole story of him kind of saying, hey, we're here in faith. We want to pray for you. How can we come and pray for you? And his thing was that he was kind of the thing he was stuck on was, listen, I want people to see Jesus through my circumstances. And then, like, it was kind of a, wow, this is not just a selfish thing. And then they kind of set him up again, trying to figure out, hey, how else can we pray for you? He's like, well, just pray for my brothers and sisters because it's been really hard on them. And it was just a small impression, just being used in that small area of, hey, listen, I want to, you know, because Lazarus, you know, he comes back to life, and people believe in Jesus because of what happened, and it was just because he was being used by Jesus, and so that was his mind mentality, and so he did that everywhere he went, and just from that small interaction, kept in contact. We got to visit there a couple different times, and there's a video I have of, as a dad, a proud moment of, you know, going there. We're traveling through the city to go to a youth conference, and, you know, hey, we want to call him up and just kind of let you know, because they shared his story in their church and around the world many different times. And I was up there recently for classes for seminary, and I got to go to one of the services and kind of go, you know, in the back area just to say hi to some people. And people are like coming up to me, and I'm like, "Oh, you're the pastor of this location." And they're like, "Yeah, we know Randall's story really well because they share it, and it's just kind of a neat thing." Yeah. And I've had opportunities to be able to share a story during certain classes when it's appropriate, and it's just kind of a people go, "We know the story," and it's not a matter about what he said; it's a matter about the behind the scenes, the reasons why he wants people to understand is, listen, we go through things in life, but we should do it to share Jesus with other people. And so just be from the good times, the bad times, it's like, listen, we live our life pursuing after Jesus, no matter what state we're in. And so I look at that as a great understanding of, in our life, whatever we do, that's the main reason why we do what we do. And it's not for our name, but it's for his name. And that was kind of a big thing for us, is that we can go ahead and we can adopt 8 kids and seem like the best people in the world. And some people don't always agree with that, as far as you're wasting your life with all these kids. And I said, no, it's a good thing, because I don't know the future generations of our actions, of what's going to take place. So that's kind of a big thing for us, is to kind of be like, whatever we do, whether my wife works with kids, I work with teenagers, and we're doing stuff with our own family, you know, what it's going to look like when down the road. But
I'm afraid what it will look like when they all grow up, get married, and have kids of their own, what Christmas is going to look like at your house. It's going to be ridiculous.
I'm going to give all those kids coffee and Red Bull and Monster. I'm going to get back at my kids for all the terror that they've caused me.
It's great. There's a verse in Psalms, my father, my mother forsake me, the Lord takes me up, and you and your wife have been taking those kids up. And I've used that verse a lot with people that I know that were in those situations, and for someone to choose to love you and take care of you. You know, when Jesus saw the multitudes and they were scattered and weary, like sheep having no shepherd, he had compassion for them. And I have learned that word compassion, I learned this in school. that word compassion literally means to intervene. Mm-hmm. And you guys have intervened. And that's a love that you can't put a measuring stick on it. A lot of joy. I love catching you guys on social media. I know you don't post a lot, but I do love catching your antics on there. And I just go, this family is crazy. And this is awesome, which inspires me to be more crazy and more fun. And then I have my own craziness that I like to do with my kids. But it's just a blessing to see you guys do that. And I'm really blessed by the fact that you did it. You graduated and you're doing well. You're in seminary now. And your wife is going to school. You're just doing all these things. You know, and I hear people give a lot of excuses why they can't do it. What do you say to someone?
I would say the best thing that you can do is if you're saying, I want to go back to school, I want to do school, is really take the time first to pray, first of all. And you're probably going to still have reservations of, after I pray, I really think God's not where I'm going to go at all. And I would say you would need to find someone close by you that is a planner. Because I think a lot of times people can get overwhelmed, and they do get overwhelmed by all the stuff that's kind of going on around them.
Sure.
I got work, I got family, I got kids, or some people like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And I think if God wants you to do something, you have to be willing to kind of put in that extra hard work and time. The one thing that was really a challenge for me going to seminary was, how are you going to pay for this? And I said, I don't know yet. And I don't, because it's out of state, so I don't get any type of scholarship. And I come to find out there's a couple different scholarships I can try to get, but still quite a bit of difference. And I had some people that I known that said, hey, I'm so proud of you. I want to give you this amount per year. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible. And then even just a week ago, our church was talking about the new year and different budgets. And they said, hey, we have some different funds that are available that are just something extra, and we want to help you out. So for the next year, I got my schooling. My church is supporting me because I said, I'm not leaving. And I really want to utilize seminary to help me, to help people within our church, to help my family and what I'm learning. But I would say anyone who wants to go to college, you first have to kind of prioritize your time and find time. There's always time. So maybe it might be like you have to sacrifice certain things. So maybe I have to sacrifice, I can't binge watch shows on Netflix, or I can't go do certain things because I'm going to study here. But it's just like prioritizing your time. I think a lot of times people get so, they have so much stuff going on that they just kind of go with what they think they want to do.
Guess when I did my schoolwork? I had two kids at home, one with special needs. Mm-hmm. I would get up at, and I'm not a morning person. Never been a morning person my entire life. Mm-hmm. 4:20 every morning. Well, 3 in the mornings a week, I would get up at 4:20. But 4:20 in the morning, I'd wake up, and guess what? That's when I took my test. That's when I wrote papers, and I would get my kids up for school around 7:45, and then I would go and do my day. And guess what? I would crawl into bed about the same time they went to bed.
Yeah.
So how I did it.
And I would even take time where, like, it's my lunch break. I'm eating my food while I'm doing my work. And it's just, I think if someone is saying, listen, I really want to go to school for this area, well, if it's counseling, if it's ministry or business, it's like you can do it, you can have those moments to do it, but you have to be willing to make the sacrifices, to put in that time to do it. And in the end, it's worth it, because I never would have thought, because doing all this, that some of my kids would be like, you know what, I'm taking my stuff seriously.
Yeah, I'm gonna take effect my, of, well, that's exactly right. It's the trickle effect. It's the fact that you are, it's important to you now, because with your kids, whatever's important to you is what's gonna be important to them. If it's not important to you, it's not gonna be important to them. Yeah. Now, we see that in church, right? Parents don't prioritize Bible study, don't prioritize a quiet time, they don't prioritize, well, guess what? The kids aren't going to do it either.
Yeah.
They're going to be just like, you're raising them to be just like you.
And that was the one thing that, for me, kind of seeing, because my seminary degree is kind of in Christian leadership, kind of deals a lot with families and teens and kids, because that's kind of the area that I can see myself in. Because I see going from, and a lot of people, it's really funny because Dr. Riewoldt would always say it, you know, the best counselors are ones that come from dysfunctional families. Or dysfunctional.
Yeah, I've heard her say that a lot.
And my family is dysfunctional, but I always tell my wife, I'm like, there are certain elements I do not want to bring into our family. And for us to be able to try to live a life that is honoring to God, but also at the same time, it's authentic. Because so many different times what happens in churches, and I tell parents time and time again, I'm not their parent. I'm here to help guide them and minister them. And I have to tell my kids often, like, listen, you come first before ministry. You come first before any of the other kids, but there's sometimes daddy has to step away to do things. And they understand that that's a big priority, because I know before in the past, people would be so focused on ministry that their families crumble.
Yeah, that's never God's will.
Yeah, and that was kind of my thing was, you know, especially with schooling stuff, I never wanted schooling to be above my family. I didn't want to be like, oh, we can't go here and do this because of schooling. So there was time even at Trinity College where my wife was like, you know, this is about a year before the pandemic, hey, I got us passes to go to this theme park. And I would have to plan out because we would drive an hour and a half to the theme park and stay there for four hours or so and drive back. So adding all that on top of all the other classes, I'm like, okay, but this is important for my family that I'm here and I'm present. I'm not, like, focused on something else. So that was another thing, trying to balance all that stuff. But I would say is start with something small. So if someone is wanting to go to college, if it's a matter of, hey, listen, start with one class. You know, Trinity was great because they said, hey, we offer classes. You know, we do one night a week. We do it for this many weeks. And it was something that was tangible. I would say just start with something small and then see where God leads
you.
Yeah,
I would definitely, I think you have on your bio on the website, you say one moment at a time. And that's how you go to school. Yeah. One moment at a time. How do you do your homework? One moment at a time. How do you do anything? You know, and I definitely value that. I never did well in school, and then I ended up doing very well in school later on in life. But for you, what you're saying, there really is no excuse you can really come up with that says, well, you can't do it. You just have to prioritize and make the things. I will say this. We do have a lot of resources at this school if you want help. Yeah. But you may have to give up your binging on Netflix for a while.
Yeah. That was the one thing that made me come back was Trinity offered, especially for, you know, pastors, hey, listen, we want to invest in you. We have a scholarship for half off.
Yeah.
And then I have a lot of kids. So if you want to come to school for free, just adopt a bunch of kids. And it can happen.
Yeah, Pell Grant, you got the full Pell, didn't you?
And that was one thing that I it was kind of a great example. And I even did this recently as I had people help support me for my a semester for seminary is I tell people, I've seen it happen where people get to go to college for free and they just waste it. And I said, that's not me. I want to, if I'm coming here, I don't care if it's free. I'm going to do whatever I can to learn, to understand. Because I've seen the other side where I'm like, I didn't want to, I actually, to be honest, when I graduated high school, I was going to come to Trinity College. But then I saw I had to take out $19,000 to come to Trinity College.
Yeah.
My parents never explained all that stuff. And I'm like, I guess I'm not going to college. And someone gave me a scholarship to Word of Life. And I'm like, I never knew that. So if it's a matter of if someone's saying, well, I can do the time, I can do the sacrifice, but I don't know how to financially pay for it. I would tell them to contact a school because there's lots of different resources. Yep. And there might be a thing where, you know what, we're going to look in our budget. What can we kind of minimize? And Trinity's always been really helpful with trying to help. They have resources in place to help people out. Even my son who's coming in the fall to the Trinity Collegiate High School.
Yeah, which is separate from the college technically.
Yeah.
And they're still in classes.
Yeah, there's still classes. And there's still some stuff we're going to have to pay. But we said, you know, it's not going to be that much because of all the stuff we have. But I'm like, it's worth it. If someone is willing to put in the time and we know it's serious, I look at it as an investment.
Yeah, I had this thing I said to a couple years ago, and I had a couple, and you know, I did real estate for years, and they're paying a ridiculous amount of money in rent, and they're making good money. There was no reason for them to be renting. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to them, I said, you need to start saving some of your money. You gotta stop spending money. You guys have plenty of income. You can save up enough for what you need percentage down to go buy a home. And this is several years ago, and I remember, she says, well, where am I going to find the money? I go, if one of your kids needed $1,000 a month for a pill to keep them alive, you would find that. She goes, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. So it's really whatever you want to prioritize on. Mm-hmm. You know. And I was kind of mean, but I get invited every year to their house for Thanksgiving at the house I sold them, so which makes me so happy. They're wonderful people, good, godly family. But they were, you know, like a lot of people, you know, in a weird spot. But that discipline is really important. You know, there are a lot of things. You know, Trinity Quest, a lot of things have changed in the last year. We don't have the scholarships that you had. However, we do have church matching grants.
That's great.
So if a church match gives $1,000 towards your tuition for a semester, we'll do $1,000 towards it. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's other, you know, scholarships available. I will say that the financial aid department we have now with Corey and Carly, they find money everywhere. And we had the most students ever working on this campus and college work study position. So all those things really do add up and they do work. And I've seen students come on this campus that had no clue how they were going to pay for college, and they did find a way. Yeah. And I always look at the price tag too, and I go, how am I going to do that? And then it turns out it's never the price tag's never really what it costs. Yeah. You know, so.
And even one thing I like about, you know, a church family is they want to invest. Like I always tell people, like being the full-time youth pastor, it's always a blessing to have that. I'm always thankful. I always tell people I'm just so grateful. And they see the hard work that I tried to put in and trying to
right.
do whatever I can. And there's people out there, and it's always unique, is that there's some people out there that you don't know kind of their, you know, their status, and they see what you do. You don't always – that's the one thing about when you're doing stuff is people – you don't see people watching you, and they see it. And you know what? I want to help this person out. I want to invest in what they're doing. And that's the great thing, especially with church matching now, is that there's people that say, hey, you know what? You know, we give and we have a way that we want to help support people.
Yep.
And that's a good thing because even like my brother-in-law, he's looking to become a pastor. And so I told him, I said, hey, you got Trinity College. I'm like, and you can do the Quest program too. And so there was some... Well, now I know that, I can let our church know a little bit about that.
Yeah,
so.
You know, the thing I always really, and I say this, and I repeat this so many times, a yes is never a yes without the how. How am I going to do it? Yeah, I want to go to college. Who doesn't want to go to college? Mm-hmm. Pretty much everybody wants to go to college.
Yeah.
How am I going to do it academically? How am I going to do it spiritually? How am I going to do it financially? Practically, how am I going to do it? And I will say that, hey, my pastor babysat my kids on Monday nights the last months that I was in school. I think about that. My pastor came to my house because I only had three classes left because I had an illness years ago, mm-hmm. and I did not finish my degree, and I almost passed away, but I'm here, praise the Lord. And so I'm talking to him years later, and I was talking to him about it. He's like, his is his pastoral counseling for me. It's very wise camp pastoral mm-hmm. counseling. Stop being an idiot, go back into school, and enroll. I'm like, who's going to watch my kids? I'll watch your kids. Yeah. And so that was true. Now he did. He legitimately, him and his daughters would come over on Monday night. And a strange thing happened with that. My cat started to like him more than me. But anyway, every Monday night, you know, the you will find a way. People will, if you ask, people will help you.
Yeah.
And people are watching you.
And I think that's a lot of times now in our culture is you don't ask. And especially the one thing I love about the church is that this is it's the most mysterious thing possible. There's no reason why multiple generations should be coming together.
2,000 years later.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it. Usually it's always like groups in like certain age brackets and categories, and that's the one thing that I've always found, especially in almost 25 years of being in the church that I'm at, is that sometimes people know you really well to know, hey, I'm going to help them out. And there's sometimes a need, and you just, you know, you might just ask, you know, hey, can someone help me out with this? And people see what's going on. We had that when, you know, in our own family, where someone wanted to help out our family with some stuff, and I was just blown away. I'm like, this is crazy. And it wasn't a matter of just their gift, but it was the reason behind why they did what they did. And I would say, if you're in church, if you're in a church and you're saying, listen, I want to go back to school, I want to go to a Christian college, and you just tell people, hey, I'm going back to school, can you just pray for me? Just pray. And I want to pursue this. And when people understand, like, you were going into ministry, which is a tough field, because usually statistics for me, I should have been gone over 6 years ago. I'm not going anywhere. I'm as privileged to be able to be a part of this church and to serve in this capacity. And people see that and they want to help out. And that's where I've always kind of lowered my pride of, hey, want to help you out. I'm like, I'm just asking if anyone would like to prayerfully consider helping in my education journey or helping me with some type of thing I'm trying to work for. That it's not about me. It's more about I'm going to learn, yes, but it's going to go to my family, goes to people in my church, my community.
Well, that's an aspect here, you know. We're going longer than I wanted to go.
Sorry.
But I don't, no, don't apologize.
Chop it out right here.
No, this is a really good point, and that is while you're going to school in your church,
mm-hmm.
you are serving in that church.
Yeah.
You are contributing to that body, and that's across the board, all the students in this school. They're somewhere. They're at some church somewhere while they're going to school here. And I see it all the time that they are involved in many ministries in those churches, and they're really contributing.
Yeah.
And so a church giving to someone towards their education
is
the easiest money you'll ever give in your life, because those people are pouring into that local congregation. And that's not even like the exception. That's the rule. Here that you're at a local church and you are serving in a ministry and you are making an impact. God's using you. And I remember my own when I was going to school. I was teaching Sunday school things I was learning in seminary. I was teaching in Sunday school while I'm taking the Gospel of John. Guess what I was teaching? Gospel of John. So it was just a tremendous thing, and I really, really love that. Well, man, we need to do this again. When you get closer to graduation, we'll do this again. Maybe bring your wife in next time, or bring some kids with you. And remember, bring your son. Is it sons coming to school, right?
Yep.
Remember, get him on here and talk about going to school here after dad. My daughter's doing it, so she's has Professor Ewald, and I had Professor Ewald.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, some of the same classes and some of the same assignments, which is great. And I just kind of roll my eyes. But I appreciate you so much for being here today. And I know that God's got his hand in your family and in your life. And it's so fun to watch. The Christian life is so much fun to watch. It's a great thing to watch.
You won't see it on social media a whole lot for different reasons. But in the moment, my kids see it and they go, what have we got ourselves into?
Yeah, I mean, it is really great, you know, and you're in a great church and serving in a great congregation, and Paul's awesome, his wife is awesome, And, you know, it's a blessing. And I'm looking forward to your graduation when you have to fly out to Dallas.
Actually, we're going to drive out to Dallas.
Oh, you're going to be on 40 forever.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Highway 20.
I've
driven out there many times.
We have made a deal with my oldest son. We are going to do a six-hour round trip when we get to Dallas. We're going to drive 3 hours, I believe, north to Austin, Texas.
Sure.
To get barbecue. And he's going to weigh out at 2 o'clock in the morning to get his barbecue and celebration. And then we're going to have 3 hours back. So that's on our plan, to drive out there.
That's awesome.
But
that's
why would awesome. You rather fly when you can drive and just scare your kids half to death going across country?
I have driven my son lives in Colorado. I've driven out there about 12 times. And I will tell you that I know every bump on those highways. And we always drive through the square in Dallas there and everything. And it's an experience, man. What a blessing today. This has been a Trinity College podcast with my friend who is a youth pastor, a dad, a alumni from Trinity Quest, Dustin Zerwas. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.